again, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF, your hometown radio station right there in Cowboy Country, Madison, North Florida, and surrounding area. And all of you listening by computer, we welcome you today because this station streams on the World Wide Web. It means that this station and this broadcast can be heard anywhere in the United States of America, anywhere in the world, where anyone is hooked up to the World Wide Web. We're so glad you joined us today. If you're a return listener, we thank you for letting us be a part of your devotional life. And if you are a first-time listener, we pray you'll stay tuned. You've been listening to good gospel music right here on WMAF. Now listen to the gospel, the good news, amen, the reason for the hope and the confidence and the consolation that Christians have even in these troubled times. And that is our subject and our theme for this particular series of broadcast. It's finding comfort in times of crisis, trusting God no matter what. I want to reiterate the no matter what, because when we begin reading from Psalm 46, we're not talking about some little something, but we're talking about something that that shakes the very earth itself, earth-shaking calamity. And yet there is a God who offers Himself to those who will put their trust in Him. He offers Himself to us as a refuge. Praise God. And I'm so glad to know that I have this God as my refuge today. A refuge from the judgment to come primarily. Amen. Because I'm saved today. God has called us all on this planet to salvation through His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't have to worry about the wrath to come. I have actually, as John the Baptist put it, who hath warned you to flee the wrath to come? Well, I have run to my refuge from the wrath to come. I want to make it very clear today. Running to God is not a weak thing. It is a wise thing. Amen. This is not running from the enemy. It's running to our refuge. There's a difference. Praise God. This is not a cowardly act. This is an act of great confidence. Don't ever look at the Christian faith as something for weak people. No, this is for wise people who understand what a lot of people don't get yet, and that is that God did not design us to live in this world, amen, and not have His help and refuge, His love and watch care over us, amen. He designed us to be His children dependent on Him, and I'm so glad to be one of those that have learned that lesson. Praise God. So we're going to get into this scripture in just a moment. We would invite you, if you would like to come to our homepage and where you can download sermons or recent editions of Let's Talk About Jesus, or just listen through your computer speakers, a sermon that you may choose on a topic that you may be interested in. Just type in THCOG, Google it. It will take you to our website right here in Tampa, Florida, where I've been pastor of the Holy Church of God for 37 years. And I praise God for this opportunity right now to not only be a pastor in Tampa, Florida, but to do the work of an evangelist as well. Hallelujah. Without even leaving Tampa. Praise God. Thank God for WMAF and the technology we have to put it up on the World Wide Web. With no further ado, I'm going to read Psalm 46 again, because this psalm is so pertinent to the times we're living. This is a psalm for a nation in crisis, and this is a psalm for people in crisis, and a person. And if that person is you today, amen, I want you to hear what the Lord has to declare through His Word today. Don't have to tell you about what is in the papers, on the news, of the calamity, of the terrible, terrible events that have transpired, where innocent people in seemingly a very safe place where no one suspected that lives would be taken, that even a little girl, beautiful little child, innocent little child would lose their life on this fateful day. It's all over the news, and it's unsettling. It is unnerving, and yet it is specifically fulfilling prophecy, prophetic scriptures concerning the time of the end or the end times. It signifies our day, friend, as the last day. The Bible said that in the last days, perilous times would come. That word perilous means outrageous, literally, in our vernacular. It means outrageous. And when I read headlines like I read, it just seem like daily, the things that are happening in our nation and in our world is outrageous. It is a dangerous world, and there seems to be no place of safety. There are wars, and there are rumors of wars. It seems like the threat of terrorism and the threat of someone controlled by evil, and influenced by evil, do things that is beyond our comprehension, consciousness, unconscionable things, and yet they're happening, and we're having to face the reality that a fallen world that is influenced by an evil entity called the devil, amen, is absolutely not just realistic. It is here. It is in print every day, the verification, amen, that we're living in these times. We desperately need to know how to live our life out for ourselves, our children, our loved ones with confidence in these kind of days. And Psalm 46 is written for people that are facing these kinds of catastrophic circumstances. Listen to it. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come and behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, he cutteth the spear in sunder, he burneth the chariot with fire. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen, I will be exalted in the earth. Again, it's reiterated in this psalm, verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. It's a time of national crisis in Israel. We're in a national crisis in America. Not only that, but so many are in a personal crisis in our daily life. We're in a global crisis internationally. And yet, God is with us, and He is our refuge. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I like what, and we talked about it last week, but I like Martin Luther, who studied this particular verses of scripture that we just read, and he wrote the great hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. And one of the verses says, and though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. Last week we talked about the fact that God's presence indeed is our refuge. And today we're going to begin with that and take this a little bit further. In verses 2 and 3 we saw that God's continual presence is our refuge. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. See, this is a calamity that the very stability, the things that we think could never be shaken, when they begin to shake, the mountains shake, then what do we do? The earth and the mountains are indeed symbols of stability. What is more stable than the earth below our feet? You know, we just take that for granted until an earthquake comes and the very earth begins to shake beneath our feet. What is more solid than the mountains? We don't ever expect the earth to move or our mountains to be cast down to the sea. What is more solid than mountains? We can't in our wildest imagination dream of the great Rocky Mountains crumbling to dust and rolling down to the Pacific Ocean. And yet we've seen many things in our lives that seemed so stable suddenly become shaken. What do we do when our stability is shattered? The common response is panic and to be filled with fear. The biblical response is found in the beginning of verse 2. Because God is our refuge, and because He is ever present to help us, we will not fear. Amen. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7 said, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, 45 through 52, we find an account of Jesus sending His disciples out in the midst of a storm on the Sea of Galilee, while He goes to the mountain to be alone with the Father. Of course, in a small boat, the middle of a great storm, the disciples are panic-stricken. Jesus comes to them walking on the waves. At first, they fear even more because they think He is a ghost. He comforts them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." He goes up into the boat with them and calms the storm. And verse 51 concludes by saying, "They were greatly amazed and in themselves beyond measure, and they marveled." I'm going to tell you, I've learned something. God doesn't always speak to the wind and the waves of the storm in my life, but He does, if I trust Him, He does always speak to the storm of fear and worry that is created within me. And when He says, "Peace be still," to the troubled waters of my soul, hallelujah, fear bows to faith and slinks away defeated. Praise God, hallelujah, amen. And there's something that is unique to Christians who have the ability and the accessibility to the presence of God, amen. We can obtain peace that passes all understanding. You know, way before answers come in my life, way before trouble seas become calm, the trouble seas of my heart become peaceable. And that peace enters in. I have the faith to stand and patiently pursue God until the victory comes. But the first sign that our trust is in Him and that His presence is all around us, that sense of His presence produces a peace. And as the old timers said, I can't explain that to you. It's better felt than telt. But brother and sister, make no mistake about it. It is genuine. It is authentic. It is real. God's peace, therefore, is our refreshment. God's peace is our refreshment. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to read verses 4 through 7 about that particular issue. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. God is our ever-present, helpful friend and gives us refuge from the troubles of life. What's more, even in the midst of trouble, verse 4 said, God sends a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. River in this verse does not call to mind a raging torrent of floodwaters, but a calm, serene river. Amen. This river is symbolic of God's peace. You've heard the term peace like a river that can flow through our lives to it and literally through it. The river is also significant in biblical history. Some scholars say the sons of Korah wrote this psalm to commemorate when the Assyrians under King Sennacherib attacked Jerusalem. Jerusalem under King Hezekiah was besieged by the foreign invaders. The fields were burned and the city was surrounded. See, friend, there are circumstances, I don't have to tell you this, there are circumstances that there seems to be no way out. However, Jerusalem had a great advantage in this circumstance. Though there were no natural sources of water within the walls of the city, nearby was Gihon, or virgin springs. A conduit from the springs was cut into the bedrock for 1,700 feet so that it would empty in the pool of Siloam near the temple. Hezekiah ordered the springs and the conduit concealed so that unbeknownst to the enemy, there was a continual supply of fresh spring water within the city walls. There was indeed a river whose streams thereof make glad the city of God. Amen. This hidden river, this water that is sustaining these people that are besieged, and they assume that they're running out of water and they're going to perish very quickly. They were very wrong about that, because the water supply, amen, was flowing constantly to those covenant people that the enemy wanted to destroy. And before God destroyed the enemy that wanted to destroy them, He sustained them with this mighty, wonderful river, this peaceful river, praise God. Without that life-giving water, the people would have perished, not by the attack of the enemy on the outside, but the lack of refreshment on the inside. Are you getting the picture? Praise the Lord. Amen. Jesus said, "Go, he that is thirsty, come to me and drink." And he told the woman at the well in John's Gospel, chapter 4, "If you knew who it was that said to you, 'Give me to drink,' you would ask of me, and I would give you living water, and you would never thirst again." Praise God. Hallelujah. This peace that comes from His presence is our literal refreshment. Even though we are beleaguered and we are embattled, we know that our God is with us and He is our refuge. And He gives us peace that passes all understanding, even in the troubled time. There was once a king who offered a prize to the artist who would paint the best picture of peace. Many artists tried, and he was not satisfied with their offerings. The king looked at all of the pictures, but there was only two he really liked, and he had to choose between them. One was a picture of a calm lake. The lake was a perfect mirror for peaceful, towering mountains that were all around it. Overheard, you could see a blue sky overhead, rather, and a bird that you could just hear his happy song. It was so vivid in this painting. Fluffy white clouds against a perfectly calm blue sky. All who saw this picture thought it was the perfect portrait of peace. The other picture had mountains too, but these were rugged and bare. Above was an angry sky from which rain fell, and in which lightning played. Down the side of the mountain tumbled a foaming, white, beautiful, crystal waterfall. This did not look peaceful at all. But when the king looked, he saw behind the waterfall a tiny bush growing in the crack in the rock. In the bush, a mother bird had built her nest. There in the midst of the rush of that angry water sat the mother bird on her nest. And in the midst of the roar of that storm and that waterfall, perfect peace. Which picture do you think won the prize? The king chose the second picture, and I believe you know why. Because, explained the king, peace does not mean to be in a place where there's no noise, trouble, or threat. Peace is to be in the midst of all those things and still be calm in your heart. That is the real meaning of peace. Running to God isn't necessarily running away from trouble. but running to the one who says, I will be with you in trouble. He promised that to David. In fact, he promised us that trouble is going to be part of living in a fallen world. In this world, Christ taught you shall have tribulation, but he said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I make no bones about it. I run to God. Amen. Not because I'm weak, but because I'm wise. And I understand that God didn't design us to live in this fallen world by our own devices. He designed us to live in a dependence upon him for fulfillment, for peace, for power. Listen, the first place of refuge that we should be seeking, amen, is that refuge from the wrath to come, that refuge from the judgment that's already pronounced against sin. Oh, aren't you glad today that you can run to God and you can receive Jesus Christ and your sins can be forgiven? Praise God. And then in this fallen world, when trouble comes, that we can run to our Heavenly Father. Amen. And he will overshadow us. And when there's trouble without, sometimes he delivers us from that trouble. I've been delivered from it and I've had him take me through it. And I'm going to tell you something. When that peace comes in our hearts, we are capable of facing a world like ours, filled with such outrageous uncertainties and outrageous calamities and crises, and yet live our life in hope and full assurance. And I believe God wants to showcase his church, his people, his authentic followers to this world just now. That there is hope in Jesus. We can't put our hope in anything or anyone down here. But we can put our hope in a God who said, I will be your refuge. And I want to be with you. You know the promise of Christ, if you receive him as your Savior. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will go with you all the way, even unto the end of the age. Don't get the mistaken idea that Jesus is only relevant when we get ready to die. That then, after we've sown our wild oats, lived our life on our own terms, then we need a Savior, and we're taking the risk that we're going to have the opportunity to pray that sinner's prayer. No, don't wait. We need him now. We need him now. We need him now, number one, because you're not guaranteed that opportunity to pray. And we need him secondarily because we need help while we're here. We need someone to call on when the mountains are cast into the midst of the sea. The Bible said of God's holy city, she shall not be moved. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When we are besieged and troubled by our enemy, we need a life-giving stream of refreshment. We need the gentle waters of God's peace in our life. Paul wrote to the Philippian church, he said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. That's in Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. In other words, pray. Trust in the Lord. Give your problem to God, and he will flood your soul with his refreshing, life-sustaining peace. Praise God. Amen. Let's go back to Psalm 46 in the closing moments here. Why was the city glad? Because it was the city of God. Simply stated, it was God's town. God selected Israel to be his chosen nation. God selected and built up Jerusalem to be his city, the home of the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. And I got something to tell you today. The Bible said that your body as a Christian and my body as a Christian is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Amen. If God was with that literal city, he is certainly with us spiritually today. Jerusalem could rejoice and find peace in the midst of war because God is in the midst of her. And she shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. Even though the nations raged and the kingdoms were moved, when God uttered his voice, the earth melted. Israel could rejoice in the midst of trouble because of verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Praise God. God no longer puts his presence in a tabernacle. He now dwells within his people. Ephesians 1:13 says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The person who is born again according to the gospel message is himself now a temple for the Holy Spirit, because now God can dwell in him. 1 Corinthians 3:16 asks, do you not know that you are the temple of God and his Spirit dwells within you? Praise God. You know, that's the hope of glory. The scriptures go on to say it's Christ in you that is the hope of glory. Literally, the down payment on heaven that assures us, praise God, that when we draw our last breath here, we're going to draw our next breath there, is that God can live within us. Christ can live within us. That the blood of Jesus has cleansed us spiritually in our inward man so clean that the three most holy persons of heaven can now indwell us. The God that dwelt behind that linen veil that literally said to a fallen world and sinful men and women, stay away, keep out, you dare not come back here and intrude into the holy presence of this God. Amen. That temple was rent from top to bottom when Jesus shed his blood so that those that trust in Christ can have perfect fellowship relationship with the Father. We're invited behind the veil, and not only can we go to God, but God can now come to us. That's exactly what happened on the day of Pentecost. There came a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind, and they were all filled with the Spirit. Praise God. Amen. Cloven tongues of fire on their head and fiery tongues in their mouth. Praise God. God came to inhabit his temple, our bodies of believers. Praise the Lord. This gets exciting. I'll tell you today, amen, we have far more on our side than the enemy on his side. Literally, there's more with us than there is with them. Because God is our refuge, friend. God is our refuge, and our trust is in him. If you need a refuge from sin, guilt, shame, the consequences of sin, you can run to God today. He will abundantly pardon. He will forgive you. You can accept his Son as your Savior, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask, would you turn to him right now? Would you come to this gracious, benevolent, good God who would take on flesh, die on the cross, pay the penalty for your sin so that you could run to him, not from him anymore. Don't run from God, friend. Run to him. Hallelujah. If you're a Christian today and you're facing trouble, calamity, trust in God. Run to him. He's with us. Let his peace fill your heart and soul right now, and let his power sustain you. We're going to make it through all of this. Amen. And we're going to enter into his presence for eternity. God will not abandon you. Run to him. Amen. And amen. Come back next week. I'm so excited about what God is saying. And let's talk about Jesus.
He has sustained me.